All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk, your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
I got no hat. Let's find out why with the lead. Welcome in to Oilers Nation every day, live from the Sports Closet studio. The lead today is the fact that I got no lid, Liam, and I got no lid because the Oilers beat the ever-loving hell out of the LA Kings to open up the 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. It was a good night down at Rogers Place. It was a good night to be an Oilers fan. Welcome into the show. We have a loaded one coming your way over the next 90 minutes. We will have a full breakdown of everything we saw last night down in game one between the Kings and Oilers. Frank Saravalli will join us on the Star Mechanical guest line, and Coombsy is going to swing by on the couch for a little notebook on, or a little Tuesday edition of the notebook, brought to you by, as you can see on Liam's sweater, Boston Pizza.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boston Pizza. I know I wore this last night on the post game show, but I wore it because I knew Aaron was wearing his. Mm-hmm. So we were double trouble with our mint Boston Pizza sweaters.
They are very nice.
We look good. Anyway, we look like mints.
Yeah, I know. They look like mints. People were commenting that yesterday.
Oh, really? Aaron told me that one.
Yeah. All right. We're going to do things a little bit out of order here. We're going to get to a scoring summary. We're going to talk about everything that happened on the ice last night. But first, we're going a bit of a different direction for our Douglas Mattress moment of the game, Liam, because I just wanted to say the moment of the game is everything that went down in the crowd last night. I thought Edmonton was absolutely exceptional, especially considering, you know, it's game one of round one for a team that's now been in the playoffs for a couple of years. And I was talking to someone at the game yesterday just about, like, you know, you're sitting there on the concourse and the crowd was, you know, a little bit louder than usual, but it wasn't rambunctious before the game by any means. And it was kind of like, I wonder if maybe the crowd won't be on a heightened level just because it's the third straight year of the LA Kings. We know what the Oilers did with ticket prices. You could still get tickets right up until puck drop last night. And I was a little bit like, I wonder if maybe we're going to see like a bit of a toned down playoff atmosphere tonight in Edmonton. But boy, was I ever wrong, because it was loud. And I'm not sure how it came across on TV, but in the rink, it was very loud.
It sounded electric. And like, you know, they come out to Enter Sandman, which is sick. And then just right from there, the anthem obviously is always a cool thing in the playoffs in Edmonton. And then the whole Talbot chance, the heckling, we'll call it, was great. And you knew the Oilers were doing well when the fans start finishing off songs in the third period.
That's always a fun little playoff thing in Edmonton. So let's go through a handful of things that I'm calling our moments of the game for Douglas Mattress. You can order yours today at douglas.ca/OilersNation. They're handcrafted in Canada, ensuring the highest quality materials and fastest delivery to you. And every mattress order right now comes with a free comfort sleep bundle. That's two memory foam pillows with pillow protectors, one luxurious cotton sheet set, and one mattress protector free with every order. And one guy who was going a little viral last night was a former friend of ours, Klim Kostin, who was in Edmonton in the building, sitting amongst the people and wearing his own Klim Kostin Edmonton Oilers jersey. I was dying at this. I love to see that Klim Kostin still has love for Edmonton to the point of getting tickets to a playoff game to watch his former teammates.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, look at that.
Just look at that smile. It says it all right there.
I love Klim the Dream, Mr. Klim, the Klim Reaper.
Klim Reaper.
Klim Reaper, whatever his name is. And it was cool, but the flip side of it.
If I was a Sharks fan, I'd be sitting here being like, what's going on?
Wait a minute. Wait a damn minute. Like, if he's just there at the game, you know, he doesn't have the sweater on, it's like, whatever, like, you know, he's just watching the game. No big deal. But like, the sweater thing is an interesting touch. Hopefully we can see him one day again in that sweater, because I loved him when he was here, Mr. Tuan. So had an interesting playoffs last season for the Oilers. We kind of spoke about it. Like in that game six, he played like 4 minutes, but also had three goals in the entire in the run. Yeah. So he played a part in it. And it's cool to see him back here after his season's done. He clearly loved playing in Edmonton.
Yeah. Canada had said is home for him. He said so himself. Yeah. And I totally get that. Reagan says, Klim, come home. LaBamba Oilers says, has any active player ever done what Klim did last night? Repping former team once current team is out. And that's the part where, like, if he was a pending free agent, I'd be like, whatever. But, like, the Sharks are paying him $2 million next year. It was a little weird. I loved it because I love Klim and I love the Oilers. But I was like trying to put myself in the position of like a Sharks fan or even someone in Sharks management. And I might be a little bit like,
wait a damn
what
minute.
Are you doing?
Yeah, a little odd. But do you know one thing that's really interesting? And we're seeing this a lot with our pal Jason Demers. Mm-hmm. Even if you only have a short stint of the Oilers, people are on the bandwagon. People are enjoying cheering for this team. And last night, the Oilers gave us a ton to celebrate.
A lot to celebrate. I want to give a couple other moments of the game. Shout out to White Court. Ran into a group of guys a whole group of people. It wasn't just guys. I ran into a group of guys and girls on the concourse. And one of them was like, hey, like I watch the show all the time. We listened to your show on the drive in from White Court. And he didn't give me his name. He just said, shout out White Court for me on the show. So shout out White Court.
Shout out White Court. Shout out the gas station in White Court as the best bathroom. I believe it's 2017, 19. But also, have you heard of the bathroom rivalry on that road to
Grand Prairie? No, I have not.
So White Court has, luckily we have 90 minutes to kill, so I can tell this.
Yeah.
So White Court as I believe it was like 2016, 18, something like that. The two of them had the best bathroom in Western Canada. The year they didn't get it, Valley View, just a couple hours up the road, took the glory from them. White Court claimed it back. They have a great candy section now too. If you're ever passing through, give it a stop. It's like the first gas station on your right.
All right. Thanks, Liam. And shout out to White Court. Go Wolverines. Shout out to Wyatt Zeger. Why not? Shout out to Wyatt Zeger. All right. Last one. Oh, yes. Okay. People are saying in the chat, Dackie, shout out to Tyler for actually throwing his hat, even if it was for $50. Flash of that picture, Aaron. So you guys know me. I like my hats. I wear hats pretty much every day on this show. Mm-hmm. I have a large collection of hats. I have a cool hat holder that goes on the back of my bedroom door where all my hats slot in perfectly. It's great. I'm a big hat guy. I never throw my hats because they are of value to me. Anyways, last night I'm sitting next to this gentleman here in the Orange McDavid jersey. Also, I did not get his name. So if you know this guy, drop his name in the chat. And I'd love to thank him personally, but we're sitting there and his dad didn't throw his hat either. And I leaned over and I was like, I don't throw my hats either, man. I love my hats. And this kid pulls out his wallet, pulls out $50 and goes, I will give you fit. And this is like probably about 3 minutes after the hats began to be thrown. Like things had calmed down a little bit. And he goes, I will give you $50 if you throw your hat right now. And I was like, straight up. And he was like, straight up. So I grabbed the $50. I took off my hat, the one with Edmonton upside down from what's the name? Unparalleled. Shout out Unparalleled. And I took that thing and I ripped it onto the ice and I got that $50 and I stuffed it in my pocket. And then I thought, maybe I shouldn't have just taken this kid's $50.
Maybe not.
But so I went up to the main concourse again, got us two more beers, came on down. Me and him cheersed. We had a great moment and we enjoyed our beers with neither of our hats still on.
So you gave it back. Thank goodness you combed your hair. It looks, you got a good head of hair, Tyler. I don't know why you hide it from the, all of us.
Yeah, so I really should wear hats a little bit less. Like even in that one with the hat hair, I feel like my hair's okay.
It's not bad. And you know, they say if you wear hats every day, it can affect your hairline.
Yeah, but I've also heard that's bullshit. Yeah, I mean, we could all be in a bit of trouble there.
You don't think that's true?
I don't know if it's true.
Well, let us know. Well, as you're dropping the name of that kid in the chat, let us know if you believe that's true. I think it's the real deal.
Yeah.
You know me, I'm a conspiracy theorist guy too.
Yeah, fair enough.
Connie did die.
I don't buy that one. Anyways, a bunch of Douglas Mattress moments of the game. Patrick said two beers each. No, just one beer each. So I did still come out with about $20 in profit for the hat and a beer. So $20 and a beer for the hair, for the hat to be thrown on the ice. That's so that's not bad.
Could have got a hot dog with it.
Shout out to our friends, the Utah boys, Goat and Lilbro. They were on the Jumbotron like three times in that game. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah. It was great to see them cheering loud and proud. BM was in the house. I saw a cowboy Christopher Chalmers sitting up in the loge level like a fancy rich boy.
Must be nice.
Did he throw his cowboy hat when there was a hat trick?
Not a chance.
But what did he do? I looked up to see if he would, right?
A shoey.
No, why would he do a shoey?
I can't think of anything. What would
else be awesome. But that's the first thing that came to your mind was him drinking his beer through a shoe?
Yeah, cowboy boot.
No, but I looked up because I was like, I wonder if Chris threw his cowboy hat and he's up there with no hat on. And I was like, oh my God, he threw the cowboy hat. No, I think Chris tucked it underneath the thing to make it look like he threw his hat, but he didn't. Interesting.
Well, here's the thing. Believe it or not, you don't actually have to throw your hat if you don't want to. Although I know they reckon that 6% of the crowd threw their hats last night.
It was like 1,100 hats in total or something like that.
Think about 6% of people. Mm-hmm. That means 94% of the crowd either didn't have a hat or didn't throw one.
This is going to be weird, but can you go let Mike Gould in? Okay, Brett's got it. Mike Gould's here. I think we're going to bring him on the show, actually, because I got to get...
Right here. He's calling me.
Yeah, probably. I got a gift for him. So, yeah, we're going to give him a gift live on the air. Mike Gould's been hopping on and helping out with our pregame hits from Daily Faceoff.
From the Fantasyland Hotel.
From the Fantasyland Hotel. He's in. He's not usually in Edmonton. He's from like Okotoks. Anyway, so there's your Douglas Mattress moments of the game. I thought the crowd was absolutely electric last night. I feel like we've buried the lead a little bit. So let's get into our scoring summary brought to you by Service Credit Union and the Service Big Share Contest. Shout out to our friends at Service. The month is almost done, which means it's almost the end of your chance to win $1 million with the Service Big Share Contest. All you need to do is save money and you could win. Every $500 saved gets you 5 entries. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. The scoring summary last night, Liam, it was the Edmonton Oilers coming out of the gates hot. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got the first goal of the game. They got the first 4 goals of the game, but they were all over them early on in that hockey game. Like they hit a goalpost early. The McDavid line was absolutely humming in that one. Like LA could have been down in that game, as crazy as this sounds, considering the Oilers got the scoring going at the 6:52 mark. LA's lucky it took almost 7 minutes for Edmonton to score.
Oh yeah. The Oilers came out very, very well. You know, like you said, Hyman missed, hit the post, and then right after that too, Henrique had a really good chance on basically the same play. Right. So they played so, so well. I think it was our good pal DJ Bean tweeted, like, after the first period, it could have been 5-0. But Nugent Hopkins had that great chance, and obviously they got a couple as well. But they were unbelievable. A team on a mission. Yep.
Yeah, they were. And McDavid throwing Mikey Anderson in the old spin cycle. Whoop, slide right past him. Get it over to Hyman, who is fired up. And okay, so I sit like right in that corner. Mm-hmm. Last game I sat like 8 rows up in that corner, and watching Zach Hyman skate at me and mouthing, "Let's go," got me so fired up for the playoffs. Like that. Oh my God. He was ready to go. So it's Hyman from McDavid and Bouchard. And then the Oilers kept the scoring going in the first period when Rico scores his first Stanley Cup playoff goal in 4,333 days. It is an absolute snipe into the top corner. And he sets the NHL record for longest time between Stanley Cup playoff goals. He had not found the back of the net in a playoff game since he was a rookie with the New Jersey Devils, and he made it 2-0 for the Oilers, and he was nice and fired up there. So was the captain, Connor McDavid. But Rico finds the back of the net, and they might have found something here with this McDavid-Henrique combo.
Yeah, it's been good. If I'm not mistaken, I'm going to say something here, and could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he scored in his last Stanley Cup playoff game.
In that game, in, seven or whatever?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he scored in that game and then scored in this one. So back-to-back playoff games. All it took was
four. No, because he had like a weird...
No, I don't think he went, did he?
No, he had four with the Ducks in 17-18.
Damn it.
And he was dash two, didn't get a point.
What a stat that would have been. Five goals that playoff run, though, for the Devils. And yeah, just that line has been playing really well. And, I didn't actually know Henrique had that in his weaponry, you know,
like that shot that, because yeah. Usually he's an in tight finisher.
Yeah, but that was a good one. I bet it caught Talbot a bit off guard too, because
he did score in game seven against the Kings.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, you know, stat guy.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, just like probably a bit unexpected for Talbot to face that. Like, you know, you see Draisaitl, I'll even knew someone like that coming down on that side with that shot available to them. Like, a little bit more threatening, but yeah, just a great finish by Henrique. And I said this in After Dark, and I'll say it here. If you can replace the I and the P in snipe with a one and a nine.
Yes, you can, Liam. That's a very astute observation you made there. Yep. All right.
You respond to that exactly how I did last night.
I got the same jokes on last night as I do tonight.
Yeah, that'll happen. just looking, the Oilers power play goes 3-for-4. The one attempt they missed on was the one in the first period when Pierre-Luc Dubois took one of the stupidest penalties I've ever seen a player take right in front of the refs, in front of the Oilers bench. After Arvidsson already got his lick in on Connor McDavid, Dubois comes in and just like hammers him from behind. Mm-hmm. He got an interference penalty. The Oilers didn't score on that power play, but it was about as electric as a power play could look. Yeah. And I watched them zip it around, and they actually, to go analyst on you, everybody.
Here we go.
They did this one move where they, to start the power play, Nuge was on the opposite side of the ice and Draisaitl was in front of the net, and McDavid was on what would be, if you're looking from Bouchard's angle in, it would be McDavid on the left, Draisaitl in front, and Nuge on the right side. And I honestly think it confused the hell out of the LA Kings. That's a look we've never seen from the Oilers. And I love that they came out first pitch curveball.
Yeah, right away. Throw them off the game, right? And I think too, maybe a reason they did that is because of how well the LA Kings penalty kill has been all season.
Yeah.
Second ranked penalty kill in the league, and the Oilers managed to figure them out on a what did they get? Three power play goals?
3-for-4, yeah, was the final. Four.
And you look at those goals too, they're all very different.
Yeah.
You know, like Hyman and Nuge, yes, both basically tap-ins on the goal line, but you have the Draisaitl one across. McDavid was in like a bit of a position, a different position.
Yeah.
And then Draisaitl absolutely snipes one in too. Just kind of a nice to see that power play find different ways to score some goals.
Okay. Should we pause the scoring summary? Because Mike Gould's here. All right. Yeah. Do you want to pop on for like 2 seconds? Yeah. Okay. Slide in. Slide in on the couch. I'm going to go get you something. 1 sec. I'm literally going to get up and
let
walk.
Me shout out Service say. Credit Union once again.
Yeah. You can just move that however you need to. Are we live still?
Yeah, we're still live.
Oh, okay.
We're just getting all set up here. All right. So we're going to pause the scoring summary for like literally a minute. The Oilers here, you got to bring that mic like nice and tight. You got to eat. Hello, Mike. All right. So you're a big Coyotes fan.
I was.
I went down to Arizona for the final game at Mullet Arena.
Oh, Jesus. What did you get?
And I brought you back. I thought you'd like the souvenirs. I brought you the whiteout tee.
That's pretty cool.
So you could always remember your Arizona Coyotes and the final yearbook from the Coyotes.
Cool. That's sweet. That's awesome. There you go,
Mike.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's
it's a thank you nice for doing move. All the great hits with us and an apology really because cool. you lost your team.
Hey, they still exist.
They do still exist.
It's going to be interesting. I'm planning. We're going to see if we can make it all work. I'm going to go to Utah for the start of the season because, I mean, hockey at the Mullet was strange.
Super weird.
Hockey at Delta Center is going to be even weirder because that's not even a rink per se. So it's going to be it'll be interesting to watch. I'm curious to see. They got a good team. They're going to be, you know, with Ryan Smith being the owner, I think they're going to be compelled to do some interesting things. and we'll see what they end up doing because there's a core there that they can really build around.
Yeah. Okay. And then before we let you go, we're going to ask you one serious hockey question.
Okay.
What surprised you the most last night? Oilers beating the hell out of the Kings, Leafs winning a game at TD Garden, Golden Knights beating Dallas in game one was surprising, or the Canes scoring 2 goals in 9 seconds and erasing a quick deficit to the Islanders. What was the most surprising result for you last night?
So I was at BP's watching the end of the Canes game last night. They asked me with about 3 minutes left if they could turn it off to switch to the Oilers game. And I was like, no, I want to see the end of this. And I'm glad that they didn't switch it because Aho scored the tying goal right after it. I was like, okay, we're going to have to keep this on. It's going to go to overtime. And then they score again. And I'm like, oh my God, this is freaking me out. So then I was like, after they made it 5-3 after Gensel scored, I was like, you can turn it now. The Oilers game, you know, I watched the first little bit at BP's and I went back to my Fantasyland suite,
which was hilarious.
And I watched the rest of it from the jacuzzi. Well, at a certain point, I think I said it on Twitter last night. I was just like, this is just a shit kicking. What are you going to say? This is, I mean, I predicted it on the show last night. I said, you know, I think, you know, the Kings might have a chance. They don't have a chance. This series, it would have to turn a complete 180 for the Kings to win a game, two games. It's been completely, and you look at the news that just came out about Demko. I mean, I said it last night before I even knew that the Oilers have such an easy path to the West Final. So if they don't make it, that's gotta be pretty disappointing, but you know, you gotta look at this path ahead as a pretty big opportunity.
All right, Mike, thank you. I wanted to give you your gifts. I wanted you to come check out the office, but thanks for swinging by.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
See you later.
Now, go Oaktokes Oilers.
No, go Crew.
No.
Oh no. I forgot. We can't have you guys find. All right. There you go. Shout out to Mike Gould. I wanted to give him that gift as a thank you for doing all his hits with us. All right. Back to the scoring summary, Liam. Thank you to everyone in the chat for dealing with that hiatus.
That was very nice of you, Tyler.
Yeah. I was thinking of him. Game or second period of that game.
Whoa.
What?
Where's mine?
Your Coyote shirt?
You went all the way there.
I can give you one. I have an extra one.
No, I don't want a
second. I knew you wouldn't want it. I knew you wouldn't want it.
Unbelievable. You go to Arizona and then you go to the Sherwood Power Sports and Marine Grand Opening. Yesterday, you brag about your new key fob.
Yep.
Shove it right in my face and didn't even give me anything.
To be fair, you were invited to Power Sports and Marine.
I was busy.
You also live very close to
it. Yeah, you could go probably at any time and get one.
This is unbelievable.
We were also at Sherwood Ford yesterday.
I got my shirt.
All right. Back to the game last night. Oilers were up 2-0 after one, but they did give the Kings that power play late in the first. And I was kind of like, oh, God, that makes me, you know, a tinge nervous, I think is how I would describe myself. But then in the third period or in the second period, they didn't look good, I'll say, for the first 3.5 minutes of that period. The second. I thought the Kings came out and played really, really well. And on top of that, I felt like the Oilers started to get a little too comfortable, almost like the first period went so well that they kicked their feet up and were like, perfect. This is just like the regular season. We can just kind of coast around, make some nice snappy passes and try to look all cute. And the Kings took it to them for like a solid 2, 3, 4 shifts there. And then they got the breakaway. Victor, and I feel like this got lost a little bit because eventually there were 4 goals against and the Oilers offense was the story, but Arvidsson got that breakaway and Skinner stopped him.
Yeah.
And a couple of seconds later, it was like up the ice the other way. The Oilers go down, McDavid finds Hyman, and it's 3-0. If Stuart Skinner doesn't stop Victor Arvidsson on that breakaway, this might have ended up being a different hockey game, but that big save by your goalie, even though it's 7-4, even though everyone's talking about the offense and 5 points from Connor and the Hattie from Hyman, Stuart Skinner played a major role in that game being able to get to the point of 4-0.
Yeah, I thought he was fantastic last night with the workload he had to do, right? I think they said he made 33 saves, something like that. So 33, yeah. So he did really well. And that save to me showed that we have a different Stuart Skinner in this postseason. I know it's just one save and it's very early on, but last year we weren't getting those from Skinner. We were getting them from Campbell. Ironically, it was a Victor Arvidsson breakaway that Jack Campbell stopped as well last season that kind of turned the series around for Edmonton in their favor. But just to go back to what you were saying at the start of the second period, I don't think LA had any other choice but to come out and do that. They had to go give it everything they got to get themselves in the game. Victor Arvidsson makes that breakaway and it's a different game, but Skinner was great. Very, very unlucky what happened to him. I know we'll eventually get to it, but I thought he was fantastic last night and fully deserved not having any goals against, to be honest.
And then really from there, like, it was 3-0 on the Hyman goal. And then Nugent Hopkins finds the back of the net on the power play, makes up for his missed 2-on-1, well, which
I can't believe he missed that.
I know he had to score that, but he makes up for it and taps one in right in the blue paint on the power play, makes it 4-0 Oilers. And then again, like, a little bit of a slip up by the Oilers, because it was 4-1 and then it was 4-2, but the goal got waved off and then it became 4-2 for real when Adrian Kempe scored. I will say, first off, it was definitely a no goal. They got the right call on Trevor Lewis. Okay. He hit it with his hand.
Okay. So here's my thing with this. Yes, he hit it with his hand. I actually didn't know that meant it was a no goal. I just kind of assume, like we've seen it before, but I think it's because, and people are saying, like, oh, how could it be deliberate? Like, some Kings fans are posting a picture of him with his eyes closed. So, okay, either way, eyes closed, open, whatever they were, his hands were coming down and his hand literally punched the puck into the net. What? So I want to just ask you a question. You'll know this.
Yeah.
So say that didn't hit his hand and it hit the stick. Would it not just be a high stick?
Yes.
So I don't understand what the review was. Were they reviewing, I guess, his intention?
No, they were, I think they were, because the call on the ice was a goal. I think they were reviewing for a high stick. And when they went, because the review took forever.
Because immediately, as soon as that went in, I was watching from my house and I said, I was like, high stick. I thought it was clear as day.
Stuart Skinner knew it right away too. Cause you can see there's a reverse angle where he turns and looks at the ref and he's got his hands up. So
I was actually really shocked they called that a goal on the ice, to be honest.
I was a little bit too, but I also think they usually just call it a goal on the ice to be safe in a weird way, right?
I actually respect that.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a very obvious note.
So again, things got a little bit hairy there towards the end of the second period. And then in the third period, again, the Oilers just had that little run where they pulled away. It was Dreisaitl on the power play. McDavid picks up his fourth assist on a goal that, like, and I don't even think this is an exaggeration, but like, only Leon Dreisaitl can score this. Like, that spot, the Talbot read it perfectly. Like, Talbot couldn't have came over any better than that. There's room for like a puck in that top corner. And Dreisaitl just hammers it off basically the back bar, then off the front bar, and then down into the back of the net. But like, dude, that release is insane. It's unreal.
Yeah, there's very, very few players who can score that goal. You're right. Like, Dreisaitl might be the only one in the league that can do it. And just another timely goal for Edmonton, right? Just to get themselves away. And look, I don't want to get ahead of myself too much, but the Kings have to do so many things different now in game two to beat Edmonton. Yep. The Oilers showed them multiple looks on the power play. At 5-on-5, they dominated them.
Yep.
Physically, in a clean manner, the Oilers dominated them too. The Kings were trying to get chippy and do a bunch of other things. I don't want to get too far down the road here, but I don't know how LA is going to win 4 games.
I'm with you. And we'll get into that a little bit later on with Frank Saravalli. Dreisaitl scores 5-2. Hyman scores his hat-trick goal. Connor gets his 5th assist of the game on this one. And I mean, that is, again, about as classic of a McDavid to Hyman connection as you can get. If Dreisaitl is classic Dreisaitl, that's classic Hyman. Park yourself in front of the net. Oh, yeah. Skate off the ice, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Stat line was sick last night.
Got a goal.
Oh yeah, got a meaningless goal right after that. But man, that play, McDavid seaming it to him, the crowd going nuts, the hats flying all over the place. That was unbelievable. So again, there were maybe some things in that game. Like, I don't love seeing the 4 and the goals against, but I think context wise, you're not actually that worried about it. With Hyman coming through after the regular season he did to score this hat trick and show, like, hey, I'm still going to be that guy in the playoffs for you. I thought that was huge. I feel like in a way Fogel gets the empty netter as well to make it 7-4. I feel like in a way you couldn't have scripted that any better if you were the Oilers.
No, I don't think so either. And shout out Fogel, had that goal last night on my betway. But the Hyman matches his goal total from last playoffs. Like, if that doesn't show you where his game's at right now. And also, like, the determination of this team to get going early from like multiple guys. So what do we get? We got Hyman goal, Henrique goal, Nuge goal, Fogel game 1-2, of course, empty net, but either way, grabbing a goal. And I said this to Aaron again last night, but against LA, I don't think you need your depth to be there, but you don't need to rely on it as much as you would, say, if you play Dallas, Vancouver, Vegas, et cetera. With LA, if you're a top guys are rolling, you're going to walk. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like, I think in the next series, you're going to need, and there's still plenty of room to have success in this series too for other guys, but like, I'm going to look more at your McLeods, Holloway, Evander Kane to step up in rounds 2, 3, and 4, hopefully, rather than I need them to stand up right now. Cause I think McDavid and Draisaitl, and I'll throw Hyman in there too, have just found a way to beat up on LA.
Yeah, totally. And again, if you would have won that game, let's call it 3-1, okay? Or even like 4-1. I think if you're the Kings, you could have walked out of there and been like, okay, we didn't let them dominate us offensively. And if we get a save and some scoring, which I think you could reasonably believe that in some games you might, if you're the Kings, I think you could walk out of a 4-1 game, even though it's still a 3-goal deficit, and be like, hey, we might be able to win a few here. So I think this, just giving up 7 goals in the way you did, is, I think it's really hard for LA to sit there and feel like they got a shot in this series. We're going to,
thing is too, like, this has happened in the previous 2 years as well. Mm-hmm. The Oilers beat them 6-0. They beat them 8-2. LA did get one back after that happened.
Yeah.
And like, there's still a long way to go. Don't get me wrong, but like, if the Oilers are playing that game, the Kings honestly don't stand a chance.
Yeah, so let's get into it. It'll be our Sherwood Ford Giant question for the day. It's brought to you by our friends at Sherwood Ford, the Giant, and their fantastic service department. We'll be back tomorrow with another Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the show, where you'll have your Power Sports, Sherwood Power Sports, Marine Keys to Victory, and all of that great stuff. But your Sherwood Ford Giant question, do you think that momentum carries over from game to game? And or are you worried that the momentum won't carry over from game to game, is maybe a better way to phrase that question. And what I did, Liam, is I looked through the Oilers' last couple of years in the playoffs. And last year, there was only one game where they beat the Kings by 3 or more goals. There was only one blowout, if you want to call a 3-goal or more gap a blowout, but there was only one blowout in that one, and it was game 5. The Oilers won by 3. They followed it up with a victory in game 6. If you remember, against Vegas, there were a couple of blowouts in that one. The Oilers won 5-1 in game 2, and then they turn around and lost 5-1 in game 3. And then they turned around and won 4-1 in game 4. And then they went ahead and lost 4-3 in game 5. Like, the momentum doesn't always carry over. And maybe that's a reason to be concerned.
I agree. I don't think momentum is a game-to-game thing for the team, I think is a good way to say it. But if the next game, Hyman comes out and gets a goal early, that momentum does then continue. So I think it can continue for individuals, but maybe as a collective group, like, each game's so different, right? And that's why it's 7 games. Like, the Kings can come out and just put on an absolute defensive display on tomorrow and be 2-1.
Okay, this is a great example of it. So if you go back to that Kings series in 2022, right? Oh, is Frank ready? Oh, Frank is ready. All right, let's get to the Star Mechanical guest line here. StarMechanical.ca, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can find out more about them by visiting them online. They've been trusted for more than 2 decades in the Edmonton area. Frank Saravalli is our daily face-off insider. And Frank, I think the 7-4 final for the Edmonton Oilers last night was honestly flattering to an extent for the LA Kings. And when I go ahead and look at, and it's our giant question today, are you worried momentum won't carry over for the Oilers? As much as momentum doesn't go game to game, Frank, I'm also sitting here going, they were just so dominant last night that I have a hard time thinking LA has a chance.
I'm with you. It's hard for me to really create a path for the LA Kings to win this series. And we were talking about that heading into the series, but the thing was, at what point would the Oilers, or will they, that's the key question that still remains, will they shoot themselves in the foot? I thought there was such a positive from game one from Edmonton's perspective. It really felt like, this is going to sound funny to say, the Oilers have been together for a long time, most of this core. It felt like, in an odd way, that to me, watching game one was their coming out party. This is the mature, different, learned Edmonton Oilers that have really put a lot of work and effort into learning how to win in the playoffs. And that was sort of the first taste, the first example in what's been a really difficult and roller coaster season to an extent.
Yeah, I think that's actually an interesting way to describe what happened last night. It did feel like a very mature effort from the Oilers. There wasn't too many scrums, even when Vinny got taken out and Hyman got...
They reacted, but they never overreacted, yeah, which like is what I liked.
Correctly, I guess you could say. And I think the refs kind of allowed that to be that way too, by just taking single guys. But Frank, you were at Greta last night with... I saw your picture on Twitter. What were the vibes like in Vancouver with the Oilers fans?
So it was outstanding. We had an event last night at Greta, and I walk in, 20 Oiler fans ready to go well before puck drop. And the cool part is these guys are, I figured, hey, look, this is just a group of Edmonton fans that live in Vancouver. No, these are all Edmonton firefighters that are here for an adult hockey tournament. And they're on like their 5-day bender and they're like, yeah, we're going to Greta tonight to watch the Oilers. So that's where Oilers Nation assembles, and love to see it. Hung out with them for a bit, shared a few pints, and all in all, by that point, it was 4-0 Oilers and they were well on their way.
That is so cool. I love all the mustaches in that picture as well. There's some quality looking stashes in there. Yeah, I know, Liam. Okay, last one, I guess.
Tyler, where's your mustache?
What?
Where's your mustache, Tyler?
If I keep it going for more than 4 days, I usually get cyber bullied by either you or Gregor, or real life just straight up bullied on the show. So I'll probably shave right away.
I sneezed before and it just blew right off.
You're such a dick. Now I forgot what my last question was. I guess I just wanted to be like, I think when you look at the result from last night, the Oilers popping home 7, and you look at the fact the Oilers beat the Kings in their last meeting in the regular season and got their offense going in that game too, it feels like maybe in year 3 of this matchup, the Oilers have figured out the 1-3-1 to an extent where if they just move fast, LA can't get set up and then LA scrambles. And I think it's, as we go on in this series, LA is now going to have to potentially try to adjust to just being the less skilled team. And I think that's very hard to do.
They like, already know they're the less skilled team. Listen to Drew Doughty. They're basically conceding that they're not as good and saying our only chance is to try and suffocate the oxygen out of your team. And that's, to me, it's a losing mentality going into the game. You're already saying, hey, we're not as good as you. This is how we have to play. And to an certain extent, that's true. It is maybe their only hope and prayer that maybe as a way to beat the 1-3-1, it's not just with speed, but sometimes you try and make an extra pass or two, or you have a pass that's picked off through the neutral zone that results in a quick opportunity and strike the other way. Maybe the Kings are going to have to be opportunistic. That's it.
Yeah, I guess. Let's go outside of Edmonton a little bit here and talk about what else we saw last night. There is nothing more frustrating for some would say fitting, than Mark Stone and Tomas Hertl scoring the first two goals for the Vegas Golden Knights last night. And honestly, we're sitting here talking about an Oilers team that very much so appears a class above the LA Kings. But damn, they were this close to having to play Vegas. And after watching the way Vegas handled Dallas last night, I'm sitting here going, thank God that last night of the regular season broke the way it did, because Vegas looks like a handful.
Isn't that what everyone in Edmonton is saying today?
Honestly.
Yeah. Sometimes you just never know. Things break for you nicely. And look, there's a lot of work for the Oilers to do to get to that point where it's even going to matter. But it seems to me like the path for Edmonton is crystal clear. Thatcher Demko in Vancouver today, he goes down with injury. He's out for game 2. His status for the series is very much in doubt. So you've got Vancouver banged up. You've got Nashville. Okay, decent team. And you've got to take care of the business right in front of you with the LA Kings. And if you do that, you're going to put yourself in a great spot to be in the Final Four. And if that's the case, then you just play it out.
On Demko and the Canucks, you broke the story earlier today. He's out for game 2, questionable for the remainder of the series. This is a weird one too, because like he came back and got regular season games in. It's not like they rushed him back for game 1 of the series. Do you know, is this the same thing he's been dealing with, or is this separate?
My understanding is that it's totally unrelated.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So that's the really tough part for the Canucks to swallow, is they do everything right. You take your time, you're patient, you get him into a great zone, which obviously he carried into the first period of game one against the Preds. That pad save in the first 10 minutes was phenomenal. Maybe even it could have been series changing. Who knows? The Preds score in the first however many minutes and all of a sudden they're off to the races. Quiet down a building that had been amped up for their first playoff game in 9 years. He comes up with some key stops. Saros lets in an uncharacteristic one. Who knows? Maybe we're telling a totally different story today. Canucks down 1-0 and the sky is falling. That tends to be what happens here in Vancouver. So, look, this is a really tough spot that the Canucks are in right now.
Over with our friends at Betway, Predators still plus 220 to win this series.
I was going
to
say, Frank, do you think the Preds are now the favorites in that series, or do you still lean?
Does it swing that much?
Yeah.
I don't think it swings that much because I think the clear better team is the Canucks. That's how I view it. I think, look, and this is not related to the Oilers at all, but when you look at the Preds season and you see a team that has an 18 game point streak, it totally changed our perception of that team. They started off the first 3 months of the year as an entirely middling team. They get points in 18 straight. They solidify themselves in the playoffs. And everyone's like, wow, this team's a live underdog in round one. And then they kind of, they didn't limp into the playoffs, but they weren't great down the stretch. And it's like, did we overanalyze or skew our projections of the Preds based on one incredibly hot period of time where everything seemed to go well? The Oilers had 16-8 to make it a 24 game winning streak combined over the course of the season, more than a quarter of the schedule. But I don't look at the Preds streak and the Oilers streak in nearly the same category. I think that's just a really good team that got hot. Whereas the Preds were, I think, kind of a mediocre team that got hot and then came back down to earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I asked this question. We had Mike Gould on the show to begin because I surprised him with a t-shirt from the final game at Mullet Arena. As you know, he's a big Arizona Coyotes fan. But I asked him what result last night surprised you the most. The Oilers handling the Kings the way they did, Carolina's comeback, the Leafs winning a game at TD Garden in Boston, or the Golden Knights beating the Stars. Which one of those results had you the most stunned?
None of them.
Interesting. The Leafs coming through with that kind of an effort after the way game one looked wasn't surprising to you?
No, it was almost expected. You thought they would bounce back. You get embarrassed on the road to open a playoff series, you're going to see some fight in the team or you're going to see none at all for the rest of the series. They had to declare their presence. They did. Now we'll see what happens.
Fair. Do the Leafs have a Mitch Marner problem? I know he's a bit of a lightning rod of criticism, but he has 10 goals in 52 career playoff games. Like, for
they have a Mitch Marner playoffs problem.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
His whole body language changes. Everything about him changes. He looks like he's scared. It's, he does. So
weird.
He's overwhelmed by the, it looks to me like he's overwhelmed by the moment.
And he's, again, in the regular season, he's a guy who's like really consistent for him. And for it to go away in the playoffs is surprising. Maybe getting back on home ice will be a spark for him. Do you have anything else?
Yeah, I want to actually bring it back to the Oilers a little bit, Frank. Trevor Moore tugged Vincent Dayane out by the knees yesterday. I just want to know your thoughts on that. And do you think, I'm not even saying it should have been a suspension for it, but it sounds like the NHL isn't even going to fine him. And to me, that's it's a pretty dangerous hit to lay.
Yeah, let's take a look.
I didn't like it. Look, when you duck like that and get down like that, your sole intention and purpose is to try and take someone out at the knees. There's no other way to look at it. It's not like he was skating to the, you know, he was near the bench, but it's not like he was ducking through it. You can't duck through Vinny Desharnais to get to a bench. It's not how it works. The intent seemed to be clear. I thought it was deserving of a fine. I didn't think it was suspension worthy, but obviously the NHL took a long look at it and they don't miss anything. I'll say that. But they just felt like this didn't rise to that level.
I just don't get it. I can't believe that hit was just only a 2-minute penalty.
Yeah, I just think it's pretty clear what the intention is when a shorter player is going right at a tall player. And like, yeah, man, the only way you're going to make an impact is if you go low. And he went way too low, I think. But again, just to keep it on that a little bit, we talked about the Oilers reacting, but never overreacting. There were a lot of situations yesterday. Like there was a moment in front of the net where Kempe, with the refs turned the other way, gave Nugent Hopkins a shot right on the cheek.
Yeah.
And like Nugent Hopkins' face was like, there was like a big mark thereafter and his helmet kind of got knocked off. And Nuge just kind of stood there and was like, whatever, man. And it feels like the Oilers have this mindset of like, we're not just here to beat you, you being the LA Kings. Like, we're here to go on a run. We're going to take care of business. And if you guys want to go down to that level and hit us low and give us shots after the whistle, go right ahead. We'll take the power plays. Thank you very much. Because their power play was unbelievable last night.
This whole series is a test. Have you studied? Have you prepared? Have you learned anything from your previous mistakes? Check.
Yep. 100%. Okay. I know we've kept you a little bit long, but I got one more. Colorado goaltending. How long is Alex Georgiev's leash? Because it feels like, and I said this to you yesterday, Jared Bednar was having none of his crap at the end of the regular season. And after that performance in game one, it's kind of like, oh God, how long do you roll with this guy if he doesn't bounce back?
It's not going to be a long leash. It shouldn't be. If you have another outing like he did, 5 goals, 6 goals against, you got to yank him. And more than that, you got to start the next guy the next game. Hopefully, when I say next guy for the Avs, it's Justus Annunen. They did call up Ivan Prosvetov, who was their backup all season long until the last 6 to 8 weeks. And they felt like they trusted Annunen a bit more. I'm still shocked that for all the talk of this, you know, goalie situation between Georgiev playing too much, is he out of gas, to then his subpar level of play when he's even been in net. I mean, how many starters entered the playoffs this year with a sub 900 goals or save percentage? The answer is, I think, 2. Samsonov in Toronto, and you look at Georgiev now in Colorado, and I go, there's lots of things happening there, body language, etc. I can't imagine the leash is long, but I still, for the life of me, can't understand why Chris McFarland, for tackling so many other needs and redoing things for the Avs, didn't address their backup goalie situation. Jake Allen is on the Sportsnet panel this week. He should be in uniform for the Avs on the bench.
Totally.
That is a great point. Like, there was so many rumors connecting Allen to the Avs for months leading up to the deadline, and it didn't end up happening. And now,
to the best of my knowledge, I don't even think they never got serious about it.
Which is wild to not even go down the path of being like, maybe we should upgrade the backup goalie position when our starter is as shaky as he is. But whatever, that game 2 goes tonight out in Winnipeg. MTS Center should be electric. Frank is out in Vancouver for game 2 between the Canucks and Preds. Frank, maybe, I think for you, playoffs can be a stressful time. Go get a booster juice and just go look at the ocean for like half an hour and just deep breaths. That's what I want to see from you.
Yeah, I might punch someone in the throat after this.
Okay, thanks, Frank. Bye.
Hey, Liam.
Wait. Oh, yeah.
Liam, that is a great sweatshirt.
Thank you very much. It was a gift.
I figured it was, because if not, I don't know that I'd be wearing it.
There you go. Frank ends with one last jab. Shout out to Frank. Shout out to Boston Pizza. Shout out to our friends at Star Mechanical. We're going to be joined by Coomzee in a bit with an edition of The Notebook. If you count Mike Gould, we've had like 3 guests today. That's impressive.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, that is three guests.
We should do a guest for every goal the Oilers score the next day. So today we would have had to line up seven.
Was Brett?
All right, okay, wait. Yeah, also, so Frank was doing the hit for us. From the back studio in Vancouver. Well, some of you guys,
Arkham Asylum.
And I didn't want to say it when Frank was on because I didn't want him to get angry at us. And like Joel says, it's a media room. It's just narrow. It is just very narrow, but dangerous way to add some just bangers. Frank from an unfinished steam room. Frank needs to finish up the BP staff room he's in, is about to have a shift change. That was absolutely hilarious. I also like just comment, Vinny is going to pick up Moore and hit Doughty with them. But I do like Frank's analogy of like, this is a test. Did you study if you're the Oilers? And like the Oilers need to look back to last year. Things that sunk them were no depth scoring. Obviously, remember there was like undisciplined play. Remember when Janmark took that high sticking penalty on Eichel that totally changed one of the games. So again, I think the Oilers staying in their lane, and as much as I would love to see them grab a Lizotte or grab a Trevor Moore and just beat the ever-loving hell out of them, maybe do it when you're up 4-0 in game four and you're about to sweep them. You know, like I like that the Oilers' mindset yesterday appeared to be, we're just not going to worry about that shit. We don't need to worry about that shit.
I agree to an extent. I do think if someone's going to take you out from the knees, you can't just let that go by. Like,
but you got a power play and you scored on and he's got to do the walk, the skate of shame.
Totally. I agree. Like in that moment, you don't have to necessarily do it. But next time Trevor Moore's out there and he's in front of the goal, let him know that that's not okay. Cause that is an extremely dangerous hit, whoever it is.
Yeah.
And what's to say they don't try and do that to McDavid the next game?
Oh, and they will because they're greasy.
And then Hyman gets slashed by, I think it was Fiala, the Ryan Nugent Hopkins getting punched in the face. I didn't like how much the Oilers were getting beat up a bit physically, but I do appreciate the intelligence of not getting too involved in it, but like, don't let them do it too often.
Digging into what you're all saying, let's go into the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat for a little bit here. If you got any questions, feel free to drop them in. A lot of debate about Klim Kostin. First off, shout out to Charm Diamond Centers. You can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks through Charm and the Masterpiece program, charmdiamonds.com. Proudly Canadian owned and operated and home of the Pro Pose. You dropped your phone. Is it okay?
Yeah, but I did drop it over the weekend.
Is it cracked?
Just in the corner.
Let me see. Oh yeah, it is cracked down there. That's a lovely picture of you as your background. You go no case.
Well, here's why I'm going no case.
Yeah.
So as you know, as people won't know, I didn't get this phone that long ago.
Maybe no, it's pretty weeks. New.
So I got this phone and the guy in the Apple store was like, do you want a phone case? I was like, I thought about it. I was like, I need a phone case, but my birthday is coming up.
Oh yeah, we did do this whole bit.
So and everyone always asks me, I was like, what do you want for your birthday? I was like, I don't want anything. I just want my birthday to kind of come and go, if I have to be, to be honest with you. So I didn't get one for the purpose of now someone can now buy me a phone case and I don't have to get asked all the time what I want.
And your birthday is tomorrow.
My birthday is tomorrow.
So happy early birthday. I saw you were doing a little early birthday party yesterday for the game.
I did.
It was a great picture of you. What Instagram was it out on?
My personal.
Liam.Horobin.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Which a lot of people try and follow me on. I'm just going to tell you right now, I will never accept you. And it's not a personal thing. I just like having my private life private.
You got your scouting profile?
You can follow me on my scouting profile. You can follow me on my Liam Pods profile.
Yeah, Liam.Babes for the more seductive content that you post.
Not real.
$9.99 a month for that.
Yeah.
Seductive content. Unbelievable.
Wise Kyle, where's the PO box to send Liam a phone case? Devon, Liam's going to get 10 phone cases. Just rotate.
Hey, I'll take them. 1 year, I got 4.
Okay, we got 9 minutes. And I have a question for the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. but it's all centered around our friends at Boston Pizza. Team up for the cup this spring with Boston Pizza. Drop your favorite Boston Pizza menu item in the chat. All right.
Okay, I'll do it right now.
I know you're going to put cheesecake, aren't you?
No, that would be on brand, but the spin dip is to die for.
The spin dip.
I love the spin dip from Boston Pizza.
Aaron, what's yours? What's your favorite Boston Pizza menu item?
That's a tough one. I think I just said last night, I'm a regular cactus cuts guy.
Cactus cuts are good.
But I grew up on the Boston Brute, but I no longer eat that. But as a kid, every single time.
So what's your answer? Best Boston Pizza cactus menu cuts. Item right now. Cactus cuts. All right.
I like what Dacky said. Fish bowls. That is also my
answer. That is great. Mm. All right. And now here's the twisted part of my question. Would you give up that item for the rest of your life if it meant the Oilers could win the Stanley Cup?
100%.
You would never have the Boston Pizza spin dip again?
Well, it is the thing about Boston
Pizza. Like, my answer is chicken wings, and I love the BP's wings.
Yeah.
The new flavor, hot honey, delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a tough time. Like, the rest of my life, I feel like the Oilers might be able to win without me cutting this deal.
What are you talking about? There is so many great items on the Boston Pizza menu that if I have to cut out one for the Oilers to win the Stanley Cup, and I can brag about it to every other Canadian team who hasn't won since whatever, I would be totally cool with it. What is going on in this chat?
Oh, Thai chicken bites. Those things are.
Those are so good.
I just pulled up the menu in front of me.
Because if I get rid of the spin dip, my new favorite becomes a Bandera bread. If you're making me give up that, then I've got still got my wings. I've got a nice classic pizza. The pepperoni is to die for. The Great White North. Pierogi pizza.
This was such a terrible, like, great idea for a segment.
Cheesecake.
Great idea for a segment, but now that we're just flipping through the BP's menu, horrible. We just have 37 minutes left in the show.
Well, let's make an order.
Let's order.
Oh, we're actually, let's do that on the show one day this week. Yeah. I packed a lunch today, so I'll pass, but let's do that. Let's start the show by like putting the other order and see if it gets here by the end of the show. 90 minutes.
That would be unbelievable.
Yeah, we're doing that this week.
Yep.
And okay. Jay, we're writing it off.
Okay.
He said he's in. Or actually, no, we'll just do it on a day Jay's on the show and he'll probably pay for it.
So tomorrow.
Yeah. No, he's not on the show tomorrow. He has to cancel.
Well, we're not on. Well, so the other two times are in LA.
We're swapping him out for DJ Bean.
DJ.
All right.
His hype video was so good.
Maybe we can play it on the show tomorrow.
We'll play it for him.
Yeah, tomorrow. We'll play it on the show tomorrow. All right. Who are you going to double dash it with? No, nothing. Sorry, Canada. We're not going to double dash.
Oh, Liam, I have this. Pat sent me this.
Hey,
you could make that your screensaver.
My phone?
Yeah.
I have a lovely picture of my screensaver. Can you send me that? I'm going to post it on my.
I feel like right now, Adam Henrique is playing a bigger role in your life than Andrea. No. Should I not have said that?
She scored 2 points last night.
I don't think so.
She was up cheering with me.
She's great.
If the Oilers extend Henrique, you should extend Andrea. Shout out to Andrea.
Well, yeah.
Am I getting you in a lot of trouble right now?
No, but I don't say her name on the show and you guys keep dropping her name every 2 seconds.
Oh, you've said it before.
I know, but now I cover it up. I don't want people to know.
If you want content of Liam and his girlfriend, go to liam.andrea.
liam.girlfriend.pod.
All right. Okay. We got to dial it back in. Yep. Everybody can focus up. Let's get to around the NHL for our friends at Duraguard. Hit that Duraguard button.
Do you want me to do this, Ed Reed?
Actually, yeah, sure. I want to check my Instagram, see if I follow Liam.pods.
My ad reads again.
No, I'll do it. For more information,
I got it.
Do the ad read, Liam.
If you're looking for a trusted professional company in Alberta that can do it all, count on Duraguard Fence LTD.
Put it back up.
For 37 years, they have been offering manufacturing, installing, and repairing services, as well as a whole range of DIY solutions. The most highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment in Alberta. For more information and to request a quote, go to duraguardfence.com.ca.
Shit. So close.
I took off my sweater.
Almost got it in the first try.
Almost got it, buddy.
You should have heard how I read it when you went here the other day. It was awful.
It was something.
Yeah, sure.
I'll get the next one.
There will always be more ad reads.
The oil account. And holy shit, Liam is killing his ad reads.
Literally.
Liam's reading is getting really good. Man. We actually have to tell clients their ad reads can't come at more than a fourth grade level.
Oh, I only read comic books, so they usually their comics are a lot shorter than the ad read.
Okay, let's dial her in here. Dial her in. Leafs last night. That goal by Austin Matthews was nasty.
I didn't see it,
and that was very, very clutch.
I watched one team. I'll be honest with you. So here's another little tale. Sorry, we'll get back on track of this. My dad recently got the MLB Network package. So last night I go over to the house and he's watching like Milwaukee versus
Pittsburgh. They're playing Pittsburgh.
And I'm like, why are we watching this?
I've got the Matthews goal right here.
Oh, sweet.
So your dad, instead of watching electric playoff moments like this Matthews goal, sick, sick Sally too.
That's a great goal.
He's pretty sick.
People are going to laugh. I love Austin Matthews. I think he's so goddamn cool.
Oh, I think he's great for the
game.
This Sally.
Like, come on.
Yeah, that was a sick goal. I mean, look, like, the reason people don't like Austin Matthews is because of the way the media compares him to other stars in the league. Matthews is in a league of his own for scoring goals, but he's not in the same class as McDavid, MacKinnon, Kucherov. An amazing player, but I know a few people have said this in the chat. People yesterday, the commentators yesterday, I think it was specifically Simpson who said it, was like, he's 70th of the season. It's like, screw off.
It's not a 70th goal,
first of the playoffs. Like, it's totally different. So, but fantastic goal from my first time seeing it. And he's a great player.
Connor McDavid is 105th assist. No one said that. And I would have called it lame if they did.
Me too.
So anyways, that was one result from last night. Vegas beats Dallas 4-3. Like, we touched on it with Frank, but like, it's a long series and I outlined the numbers. Momentum doesn't carry over game to game or building to building or anything. But I just sat there last night after watching what the Oilers did and seeing the final score in Vegas Dallas. And I was just like, thank God that that last night broke the way it did, man. Cause I don't think the Oilers beat the Golden Knights 7-4.
No, but I don't know. Like
They don't, man. That team is so good. Hanifin had like 3 assists. Hurdle looked great. Stone obviously is 100% healthy because he's impactful as hell. You know?
I still think the Oilers could be Vegas. I still think they will be Vegas. I still think Dallas will be Vegas. Dallas lost every game won last season. Until they lost in the Western Finals to Vegas. But I think they can get past them still. Like, that's they're a great team over there. They came really close. And then the interesting layer and just shows how ruthless the Vegas Golden Knights are. And quite frankly, don't care what you've done for them in the past. It's what have you done for me lately? Logan Thompson got the start.
Yeah.
You know, he did have a pretty bad goals against on the Mason Marchment goal. But interesting. I was very surprised to see that.
Yeah. And the other one too, just Carolina. They're sweeping the Islanders.
No, Liam. They're not. No.
Liam, they're not. You're never in trouble till you lose at home.
Yeah, we say haven't.
But you're also probably in a bit of trouble if you blow a 3-1 lead in the final 9 minutes of the third period and give up 2 goals in 9 seconds to lose the game.
Definitely in a pickle. I will not deny that. I think the Islanders, they're not going to get swept. I think this will go 6. In favor of the Islanders.
Okay, so if we set the over-under at 5.5, what are we betting?
5.5?
For games in the series. I don't even care who wins.
Oh, I bet you a meal at Boston Pizza.
This series is over in under 5.5
games.
I'm
clipping that high five or whatever that was there.
It's like a dap, Aaron. We're for the streets. All right. Should we get to Coombsy?
Is he here?
I think so. Coombsy!
Let me go check.
I thought Zach was here.
I see Zach. Let me go check.
Zach's here? I thought it was Coombsy today. Well, I've been texting Coombsy. We're going to get into...
I still think the Islanders are a solid team. I really do like their fans in the playoffs. The atmosphere is pretty electric. Well, ask Coombsy when he walks in here if he believes in what the Islanders are doing.
My hair's messy. We're going to get to the notebook. It's brought to you by our friends at Boston Pizza. It's been 30 years since a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup. And for some teams, that's been a lot longer. What would it take for Canadian hockey fans to set aside their differences and work together to end this drought? Is it their team or nothing? Or could they get behind a rival under the right circumstances? Coombsy, Yeah. First off, welcome to the show. You are decked out in Fresh Nation gear.
Oh, wow. I got a brand new shirt and a brand new hat, a real classic look.
That is very, very good. The Varsity Collection, you can get it at nationgear.ca. Yeah, look, right. Everyone can get a nice look at Coombsy's new shirt and hat. Yeah. Now, what's your all-time favorite Boston Pizza menu item?
I'm a really big fan of the spicy pierogi pizza. I love it.
Would you give it up forever in exchange for an Oilers Stanley Cup?
Yes.
That's such an easy question.
It is.
You literally debated it in your head.
I know, because I feel like I could potentially get both.
Imagine if I didn't give it up and people knew. They were like, all right, the Oilers didn't win the cup this year because this guy needs to have his spicy pierogi pizza. Everyone would hate me.
I think a handful of people would respect it. Be like, the pizza's actually pretty good.
I think there's one question the chat really wants to have answered here, Coom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that occurs every time Connor McDavid does something nuts. And I know exactly what you know exactly what I'm talking about. The famous tweet.
You're not
on Twitter anymore, so you don't see all this stuff. But do you see it when people kind of get on back on board of it?
Every 4 months it goes viral again.
It was crazy. I want to know what happened that day. Do you remember?
Yeah, I think I can pull up I can't remember the exact game, but it was during the lockout shortened 2013 season. And it was when they were kind of good. It was the Ralph Kruger season and they had
they almost made
the playoffs. Yeah, rookie Jolts, Neil Yakupov. There was the trade deadline acquisition, Jared Smithson.
Oh, that was big.
It was back in that time. And since it was the short season, they were actually kind of in the mix for the playoffs, but not really. And I think there was a game in March or something. I had just played ball hockey and I was ironically at Boston Pizza. I'd been drinking a handful of Coconies and they lost a game 5 or 6-1 to the Blue Jackets when the Blue Jackets were really bad. Not like that has changed at all, but they were terrible. And I was a little in one and I was fucking David McDavid in the OHL. And just I saw all the typos and I was like, I don't care. I'm hitting send. It's funny.
Yeah. And here we are.
Here we are now. It's the most... probably the best thing I've ever said.
Yeah. So Coombsy tweeted that again, 2013. So McDavid would have been 15, 16 years old in his first season in the OHL, ripping it up. And Coombsy tweeted, I swear this David McDavid kid or whatever is better than every player on the Oilers or something along those.
I think he was at that time.
There, here it is.
He was 15 year old exceptional status at that time. And quite honestly, if you threw him in the NHL, I bet you he would have been a well above average player.
I can't believe you didn't tweet about Connor Brown that day too.
No, yeah, I wasn't as excited about Connor Brown. I was like, you know what? Maybe this guy will be fine. But it was that David McDavid. really caught the eye. But no, I still go on and I check my messages on the account, and usually the notifications will all just be that tweet kind of spinning around.
Let's talk about the game last night, Coombs. The Oilers win 7-4. The line I used with Frank and to start the show. I feel like 7-4 is flattering to the Kings. That felt like an 8-1 win.
Yeah, it really did. I don't like saying stuff like this because I don't want to feel like I'm jinxing anything or that I'm disrespecting the opponent, because LA can come back and look completely different in game two and for the rest of the series. But there was no point during game one that I thought the Oilers were going to lose this game or the Kings were going to pull through a win. This felt like the Oilers easily could have scored more goals. It kind of felt like LA scored, two of their goals kind of in garbage time late at the end when the Oilers had probably, I'm not going to say they've checked out of a playoff game per se, but it's garbage time. You're not putting your full effort forward. And I mean, yeah, I think you're 100% right. This is one that easily could have gotten more out of control, especially if things got more chippy and the Oilers got more power play opportunities. I think one thing the Oilers did quite well is they didn't really lean into LA. They're good shit disturbers. That's what the Kings are. And the Oilers didn't lean into it, didn't take penalties. If this series does get chippier and the Oilers do wind up in a game with more power plays and the reffing is really in their favor, we could see a bigger blowout than that. I think there's a bigger difference between these two teams this year than there was in the previous two, and knock on wood that I'm not jinxing anything.
Yeah. And it's tough. Like I read when they met in 2022, the Oilers lost game one, then they won 6-0 in game two, 8-2 in game three. And then they lost the next two and were facing elimination in game six, right? Like things can turn on a dime in a playoff series. Even think back to that Battle of Alberta. I remember doing the Sherwood Ford Giant pregame show with Frank after the Oilers lost 9-6. And he told us, he said, listen, I said before this series that Edmonton was the only team that has the chance to make it a short series in the BOA. And after game one, he said, I couldn't have been any more wrong. Calgary's the only one who can make this a short series. And what happened, right? After game one, we were feeling pretty dejected about the Oilers in that BOA. And they just pedaled to the floor, steamrolled past them. So you can't take anything for granted, but
I feel like that's so different though.
I think it's different as well because like the Oilers, I think, might have figured out the Kings system a little bit here. They're just going to keep hitting them with speed. And unless the Kings play perfect mistake-free hockey, I don't think they win a game.
Yeah, I said in my previous comment that I don't think that the Kings are better than they were in the previous two meetings. Like, I think last year's version of LA is probably the strongest one they saw. I thought Jonas Korpisalo between the pipes kind of gave you the feeling that LA has a goalie that can steal a game. And like, we're all familiar with Cam Talbot here, but I'm not sure if 2023-24 Cam Talbot is the kind of goalie who's going to steal something for you in the playoffs. I think the one thing, and this has been mentioned a million times, but the area where it really feels like LA has sort of gone wrong is they put so many eggs into the basket of acquiring and signing Pierre-Luc Dubois. And it was almost like they went in to make this addition to be like, all right, this is going to be our answer to Leon Draisaitl. We can put Phil Deneau out there against Connor McDavid. He's a really good shutdown center. And then, you know, we can put Luc Dubois out there against Draisaitl. And he just has not been the player they want him to be in that role whatsoever. And I think the Kings thought, Rob Blake, the general manager, thought that when they made this ad in the offseason, you know what, look, we're stepping forward huge, but LA's depth on the wings does not feel like what it was in the first two playoff series.
I said it at the moment the deal was made, and I think this season has confirmed it. They got the wrong Winnipeg Jet. They had to go get Hellebuck. Would you not be 10 times more scared of this Kings team right now with Connor Hellebuck than Pierre-Luc Dubois?
Oh, no doubt about it.
And when you look at what they gave up for Dubois, it's not like it was like, oh, well, they checked down price-wise. Like, Hellebuck probably cost you the same.
Well, didn't Vlade get a game-winning goal against Edmonton last year?
Yeah.
And Iafallo is an absolute pest. Kapari is kind of whatever he is, right? Like, he's a fine fourth liner for them. But, like, Pierre-Luc Dubois, like, to me, like, the Kings are focused so much on trying to build their roster to beat the Oilers. It's almost too obsessive. Mm-hmm. Like, just, I don't know. They have a really weird team, and I just don't get it. Like, Pierre-Luc Dubois, he was irrelevant yesterday. Like, he got the goal because it hit Nurse's skate. Well, the other night, you take two penalties, soft or not, you tuck them. Just bad.
Yeah. If there was one complaint to be had about the Oilers game, I think you could maybe say it's the fact that only their top six produced, and they didn't get any production from the bottom six. And I know there were shots on goal for those guys. Like, I know Kane ended up with six shots on net. I thought he looked fine offensively, but not as physical as he usually would be. But maybe we could nitpick the fact the bottom six didn't produce. But I also think you could maybe look at it on the flip side and be like, their bottom six has actually been better this year than in years past. Like, they're probably due to have a better game at some point in the series too. But what did you make of Coombs? I guess Kane maybe is a good place to start there. What did you make of him after coming out with all the injury talk? And I mean, hey, six shots on goal. That's nothing to scoff at.
Yeah, that's sort of an interesting one. It almost seems like, I mean, of course, there's the injury thing and he hasn't been playing at 100%. There's all the talk about the LTIR and what should or shouldn't have been done. But the reality is that all of that's passed now. Evander Kane, of course, didn't have a surgery to deal with that injury during the season, didn't go on the LTIR. It is what it is. And there's been talk as well, like Dylan Holloway, he played really well down the stretch in those games when Connor McDavid wasn't available, those final few games. And he earned that spot in the Oilers in the lineup during the playoffs. And I think it's kind of hard to stash Dylan Holloway on the fourth line because you've got a young player there kind of still trying to find their footing in the NHL, trying to figure out what role it is they're going to play. And he thrived really well in those previous games. Big forecheck, big hits, going to the net, doing that. And I think if you've got Evander Kane, then he's maybe not necessarily going to be able to go as hard in this entire playoff run. If he's dealing with a nagging injury, you've got to maybe lower the amount of ice time he's getting in certain situations so that later on in the series, maybe he's going to be the one who comes through in like a game four or a game five later on when he's played fewer minutes. But I think starting him there on the fourth line, maybe that's just a way to motivate a player. This is the kind of guy, Evander Kane's an emotional player. He's at his best when the games are intense, when he's pissed off, when he's trying to piss other guys off. So start him on the fourth line. Maybe it rattles him a little bit. And I think he responded in game one. I thought he looked good in game one. He looked engaged. And, you know, now with the news, like, he's been navigating through an injury, and think back to the wrist injury too. Like, it's probably been quite some time since this guy was fully at 100%. So I think it was an admirable performance from him, seeing the amount of hits, him going to the net, forechecking. I think it's a positive start.
I think one thing about Kane that is just who he is. His plays are so predictable. Like, it's so obvious when he comes down the wing, he's going to shoot the puck.
Oh, and then when they had that 2-on-1, I was like, he is ripping this low.
Oh, yeah. Every single shot, he's trying to get, like, through the goalie's arm. And, like, hey, like, it works, and he's made a career out of it. But I think just on the bottom six, just looking through the stats here, the only line that was outshot that played together consistently was the fourth line. And they were outshot 6-5. But they were also on the ice for the Kings' fourth goal, which wouldn't have been a shot on goal. And they were the only, they conceded a goal at 5-on-5. And, you know, a bit unfortunate. I thought they did fine. Like, actually, McLeod and Perry played the most minutes of 5-on-5 for the Oilers last night. So they did what they did. And I think they will contribute in moments for this team. And, like, when they were out there, they had sustained ozone pressure. The fourth line did a good job of it, too. So these next couple of games, I think we'll see more from them offensively.
I thought Darnell Nurse had a pretty good game. I know he was on the ice for 2 goals against, but again,
fuck of them.
Yeah, like, go back and actually watch the goals. I think there are people, and we'll probably get this, like, the stats at the end of the series when they're like, look, Nurse and CeCe were outscored 5-3 by the Kings. But it's like, if you go watch those 2 goals, CeCe's stick exploding on him in garbage time of the game. Like, I'm not going to sit here and really get too upset with the guys. When they were on the ice, I thought good things were happening. I thought Darnell Nurse was very physical. He blew up Adrian Kempe early in the first period in that one too. So again, like, the bottom six production, I'm not worried about it, but I guess you could call it a negative. I thought the blue line looked good. I wouldn't say the blue line was a negative, even though 37 shots against, not ideal. How many of them were just the Kings stepping over the blue line and just firing it at Stuart Skinner's pads or into his glove?
That's the thing too. Like, the Arvidsson save was huge from Skinner. But was there another notable save that he had to make? Maybe I'm forgetting, and that's not a hit on Skinner, but the Oilers didn't force the Kings, that didn't allow him to do much, right? He had a lot of easy shots. The 3 other goals that went in there, first one and third and fourth, like third and fourth mistakes, they were talking about it on the broadcast. You want to focus on the game. They're saying it probably hit Henrik by the way Skinner was kind of sliding across. There was a bit of redirection, so a bit unlucky. But yeah, the Oilers did just a really good job of limiting top opportunities.
Yeah. Pat Puff in the comments wanted to know if we talked about the Donair cannon that was at the game yet. It was hilarious, but it also begs the question of what else could we put into the cannon?
Well, can you explain this to me?
You just explain the Donair cannon?
Where was Donair from?
There was, like, Oilers branded. So they had Donairs wrapped up in foil with a Let's Go Oilers sticker. And I'm not sure if they were wrapping them in, like, a plastic shell or if they were wrapping them in a t-shirt or not. And they were putting them in the cannon and firing them, and boom, gone.
Like a heavy Donair, like a jumbo XL, like a meat
a rocket. Cold Donair.
It looked like the size of, like, what a loony dog would be, you know, like the little hot dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So they weren't, like, that big, but yeah, they were firing Donairs into the crowd. It was wild.
Have you guys ever shot a t-shirt cannon before?
No. Is there, like, a recoil on them?
Because, like, at the River Rocks, you have one, but you have to wrap it so tight to get it to go out. To shoot a Donair is pretty impressive. That's why I think there had to be something you put it in. But I like imagining this more.
Yeah, Cody says glizzy cannon. I think this is just the Edmonton spin on it. Sam Squatch wants us to call it a meat rocket. I'm not going to do that.
Well, do you know when you go to the Elks?
Stacky says whole potatoes.
Yeah, you start knocking some people out. Yeah, I won't read that one. Right. So do you know when you go to Elks games and they have that big t-shirt cannon and he's like... tons of them.
Yeah, the t-shirt machine gun.
Yeah. Now imagine that with Donairs.
I like it, honestly.
Wouldn't it just firing away?
It's authentic to the city's vibe. Like, else do we got that kind of sets us and we're like, you know what? This is very authentically Edmonton. I think it's Donairs.
Well, they couldn't fire the Talus balls, could they?
Yeah, one at a time, load it into a cannon, just fire them across the stadium.
Remember that time they skated out from the Walterdale Bridge?
Oh, that was cool. Yeah.
I like that. And they did it once, and I think it was like Rob Tichkowski tweeted immediately after the game. It was like disassembled in the back. Like, they did this whole thing for one game and then it was just done.
Yeah, they didn't even keep it as like an artifact. They weren't just like, oh yeah, we'll have this outside and fans can look at it. It was like, nah, we're melting this thing.
Do you know what is funny? That reminds me, the Walterdale Bridge, when they do the yellow cab racing,
oh yeah,
and they just make up this random map of Edmonton and it's like you cross a Walterdale Bridge and then you're like right next door to Rogers. Yeah, like right at Rogers. That is inaccurate. Come on.
I had something else. Oilers fans love nostalgia. Like, they launched those Mitchell and Ness jerseys with that look like the 06. They got the patch on them. I saw them in person. They actually look really cool, but I'm on the hunt for a white Hemsky. I don't want the blue Smith. I want a white Hemsky. So if anyone's got a hookup, let me know. But how electric would it be in the crowd? Would go nuts if they found a way to bring back the oil, Derek. If they had this Oilers team skate out from the oil, Derek, that would be unbelievable.
Where is that little guy?
Did they have it at Rexall, the old stadium? It was just chilling there, wasn't it?
And now it's in Fort Hall. Oh, you walk under it to go into Fort Hall.
Oh, that would be sick.
But like, you could, maybe you have to modify it, get a smaller one. Cause I heard the problem was the Jumbotron was too big, right? So you can swing down the oil there, but maybe you could get a modified one that you skate onto the ice and like
put it in the Jumbotron.
What?
What do you mean?
Well, like this gap in the Jumbotron, right?
I don't think that worked. You're like, how could you swing it?
Someone does that. I think it could work. But that would be cool.
It would be cool. That's the one piece of nostalgia I think I really miss from the old rink that I'd like to see them bring back is swing down the oil derrick or get the oil derrick in there and have them skate out from
there. Derrick out of a cannon. There you go.
Shoot each guy out of a cannon. Through the oil derrick and they're holding a Donair like a really big one.
Outside of Edmonton, Coombsy, what other series is kind of catching your attention? Is there one you're actually like tuning in for, appointment viewing?
I think the Western Conference series are all really interesting, especially that Vancouver-Nashville one, because Vancouver came from behind and they beat and they won that game one. But I think they're probably, and I mean, saying this now after Vegas won their first game might not fit, but I think that Vancouver might be the most prime for an upset of any of these teams in the first round. The Eastern Conference, two of the four series almost just feel like these are exhibition games being played. The Rangers and the Capitals, Carolina and the NYI, like New York, the Islanders, they blew the 3-goal lead was the worst blown lead they've ever had in a playoff game. And it sort of just feels like, you know, this team won like 36 games this season. Why are the Islanders and Capitals in the playoffs? But the Battle of Florida is an interesting one. Boston, Toronto is a really interesting one, but Vancouver, Nashville is the one I really have my eyes on, because I think as much as we'd all love to see the Edmonton Vancouver second round series, because it's been what, since 1990 or 1991, I think it was, since the Oilers met the Canucks in the playoffs. As much as that would all be a lot of fun and it'd be great for Owen and Canucks Army and Quadrelli and everybody, I think it'd be really funny if the Preds upset Vancouver in the first round, because the Canucks have just looked for a lot of the season like a team that's going to lose in the first round.
I'm a company man. You guys know this.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Quite frankly, I couldn't care less if the Vancouver Canucks never won a game again. Mm-hmm. So sorry, Canucks Army. As good as it would be, like you said, I am go Preds go. Nashville Predators, my team.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Nashville and find my inner Morgan Wallen.
Like, so the BOA was a lot of fun because, again, for Oilers fans who are kind of our age, like, you haven't had that true BOA moment outside of, I guess, the Smith Talbot fight from a few years ago. But like, you haven't had a moment where you're like, damn, I really have a reason to hate the Flames outside of just knowing you're supposed to hate the Flames. It would be cool to see us have that moment with the Vancouver Canucks. Like a Western Canadian head-to-head playoff matchup would be really cool.
But it's only cool if you win.
Yeah,
I agree.
It sucks so much if you lose. That's
franchise like, ruining loss. Like for Calgary.
Flames have never looked good the same.
They have not recovered at all.
I don't think Edmonton.
Johnny Goudreau had to go live in Ohio.
Yeah, like I do not want anything to do with the Vancouver Canucks because I think they're actually a very good team. The others have not beat them this season. So if we could play Nashville, come on.
Someone commented, "Liam supports Predators." I was telling you about that TikTok I saw where it was these girls in Nashville who didn't know the hockey team existed and they're at a playground and there's the list of like donors who helped make the playground and it was just Nashville Predators Foundation and they're like, what is it, the Predators themselves? And some guy walked by and I was like, it's the hockey team. And they're like, oh, it was pretty funny. Anyways, Liam likes the Nashville Predators. It would be, the Oilers dominate the Predators historically.
Exactly.
So
like we sat here 2 weeks ago and being like, bring on Vegas. I know I want to play the easiest team every round.
And I know there's no such thing as like an easy series, Coombsy, but we just talked about this and around the NHL. You sit and watch what Vegas just did to Dallas and you watch the way LA looked in game one. And it's like, as much as it's like, oh, you got to beat everyone on the path to the Cup final. No, you don't. You could play easier teams on the road to the Cup final, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You
can only play your schedule. And if your schedule is LA, Nashville, and somehow the Colorado Avalanche, I'll take it. And New York Islanders.
I think this generation of Oilers fans too, like, I might be wrong, people can correct me, but like, I spent a lot of time watching the Oilers during the late 2000s and the early 2010s when the Canucks were really good. Yeah. They were, you know, the Sedins, Kessler, Bieksa, Dan Hamhuis, Roberto Luongo. They were a really good team. And I watched the Oilers get absolutely rolled by the Canucks many, many times, and their fans be obnoxious about it and really like to put the Oilers down. So I almost feel like if there was a rivalry with one of the other Western Canadian teams, I think a lot of Oilers fans who were maybe born in the 90s might hate the Canucks a little bit more. Might.
Yeah, I think
because they were good. And it was hard to watch those absolute ass kickings. And it was hard also watching Vancouver go on those deep playoff runs. Like, I bet you there are a ton of people in Edmonton who were really cheering for the Boston Bruins in 2011.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
And we were all there.
Hey, that goes back to the Boston pizza thing. Like, I said yesterday on Real Life, I have a soft spot for the Jets. I have no, like, when the Oilers play the Jets, I hate the Jets because Neil Pionk is just annoying and like whatever. Shifley's annoying. But I have a soft spot for, I guess, the fan base in Winnipeg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you see similarities between us and them.
I respect them.
Yeah. I don't feel the same way about Canucks fans or Leafs fans or anyone else.
Any of them.
Yeah.
What about Sens fans?
All right. They have them.
Cares? Sadly irrelevant.
Matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Gavin?
Gavin, thoughts? All right. I want to wrap up the show today with a little bit of talk for our friends at Betway. With Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. All you need to do is create a new account and redeem your bonus. And you can do so by scanning the QR code we're about to show you. Place a bet with no minimum amount required. And if that bet loses, you'll get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. This offer only available outside of Ontario. There's that QR code on your screen, gents. The Predators are plus 220. So 2.2-1 to win that series against the Vancouver Canucks. It's tempting.
Do it.
It's also very tempting to just take them on the money line tonight. I wanted to ask you guys, though, Winnipeg, Colorado, over under set at 5.5. We talked with Frank about how bad Gorgiev's been. I feel like the over...
Five and a half.
Are you betting it right now? I feel like the over is a smart play there. But I'm actually up. I'm taking Winnipeg to go up 2-0. I feel like this might be one of those series where the home team just dominates each way.
They've owned Colorado all year too, right?
Like I think they beat them every game and like smoked them a couple times. Yeah,
like the goal differential was like
17-4 to start the playoffs.
So you'd think they should be able to keep this thing going into the playoffs and cruise to that series. But playoffs are way too unpredictable to be like, all right, this happened during the regular season. Cause think back, like some of those games are way earlier in the year. The teams are a bit different now, but Colorado's goaltending situation, I don't know how you feel good about that. This is the biggest game of his career, I would probably argue.
See, so what was that game when Gorgiev kind of lost his mind and got pulled and everything?
I think it was like 2 weeks ago.
Do you remember what, I guess I can find it. Do you know he's Bulgarian?
I didn't know he's Bulgarian.
Yeah, he was just born in Bulgaria.
Where did he play growing up?
I think he played in the KHL.
Bulgarian Minor Hockey Association, probably. Yeah,
probably.
Ball Hockey Bulgaria?
Okay,
sorry, I'm just trying to look and see when that was because, see, so it was against Nashville.
Yeah.
He played 20 minutes. Since that game, he has had one game with a save percentage over 900, and it was 909 when he allowed 2 goals and 22 shots against Minnesota. Mm-hmm. He has not been the same goalie at all. And I know when
he's a spaz.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When he was in New York, he had that thing with D'Angelo, and basically D'Angelo just took all the blame for it. And now, like years later, don't get me wrong, D'Angelo does seem like a bit of a dickhead as well, but like, Gorgiev's here and he's laying his team down. Like, I feel like we should have predicted him a bit of a fall off because quite frankly, like he's not been that good all season anyway.
Okay. I have a four leg parlay on Betway. You tell me what leg you would not trust. Predators to win tonight, over 5.5 Colorado, Winnipeg, Tampa to beat Florida, straight money line, Rangers to beat the Caps, straight money line.
What was the second one? Sorry.
Tampa to beat Florida.
Don't love that.
Yeah. That's the one for me.
Vamos Gatos. I believe in the Panthers.
Was that Spanish?
That's Portuguese or Spanish, but for me, Portuguese.
Okay.
Interesting. For me, Spanish.
Yeah. you love traveling to Gibraltar. That's what you always tell me. That's why he spends all that time in tanning studios.
I think the Bolts kept it a one goal game and didn't play good in game one. So I just feel like game two, they might bring a bit of a better effort.
I think Nashville. I just, you know, like that Bond the other day, Rogers Arena is what they call it. Pretty electric.
The U2 walkout is incredible.
Yeah, it's great. And Casey DeSmith has played good games for him when Vancouver really needs him. So I think they'll win tonight. And I think Nashville will take game 3 and 4 and then it'll go back to Vancouver even.
Well, I already bet the parlay, so show it that way. Too bad. All right. Toomsy, before we wrap up the show, Yariel Rodriguez.
Yes.
Do they need to give him a solid chance to be an actual starter? Should they remove the restrictions on him?
I don't know. This is a tough one because I don't want his arm to burn out early in the season because they're going to need those bullets later on as well. I think as much as that might suck, it might just make sense for Alek Manoah to come back, be the fifth starter, and let Rodriguez be the guy who piggybacks behind him. If Manoah sucks, then you have another starter.
Kevin Gausman is somehow their worst starting pitcher right now. He gets the ball tonight as the Jays take on the Royals. You can read Coombsy's Blue Jays work at jaysnation.com. You can read his Oilers work at oilersnation.com. And you're going to be popping by with us every single Tuesday going forward. So
every Tuesday, Thirsty Tuesday.
Thirsty Tuesday with Coombsy, or The Notebook, brought to you by Boston Pizza. A big shout out to Boston Pizza. Big shout out to Frank, who joined us on the Star Mechanical guest line, as well as our friends at Duragard, Douglas Mattress and Service Credit Union. Tomorrow, Sherwood Ford, giant, giant game day edition of the show. It's game two between the Oilers and Kings. We'll get set for that with all the usual giant game day fun, and we'll continue to talk about the rest of the playoff situation around the NHL. Big shout out to everybody over in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. You can look for a new episode of Oilers Nation Radio dropping in a few hours and fill your ear holes with that. Until then, enjoy all the hockey tonight, and we'll chat tomorrow at noon Mountain Time.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.